time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. Well, good morning, and thank you all for joining me. Nice show today. We got all kinds of news and articles to talk about. And of course, we always take your calls so that we'll answer questions as well as I can. And you can ask questions on anything having to alternative health or communications or science for that matter. And I'm a pretty educated guy and have lots of information. And love doing this show. It's been on now, going on over 20 years. We've been on the radio. This is our new format, Blog Talk Radio. And for those of you just tuning in, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Natural Solutions Radio, and you can hit the live streaming button, and you can hear us live streaming. And there's a telephone number to get the store, 915-833-0222, and that's to order products from the store. Health Naturally, also Prime Longevity, that's the supplement that I designed, and basically I think it's the top anti-aging product on the market. You can go to Prime Longevity. You can see the ingredient list is right up there. So anyway, some of the articles of today, one of the first that we can talk about because it is so common is how many of you feel, as an example, after you eat that you get exhausted and you feel so tired. And I know after a big Thanksgiving meal, people just go, oh, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. And they got to go take a nap, and then they wake up and they're still hungry, even though they piled on the food. Well, it says that when you feel exhausted or mentally fuzzy after eating a meal, your diet may be the answer. And it looks like it is. It says, if instead of feeling energized and satisfied, you feel exhausted and brain fogged after eating a meal, this could be your brain telling you there's something wrong. And what it usually means is that one of the foods you ate was possibly allergic or you were sensitive. So whether it's being sensitive to gluten, or allergic to gluten. Most people that are allergic to gluten would have a chronic diarrhea. So some people just get sensitive to it, and there's a difference between the two. But they've now found that most of the time when you are fatigued and have to go to sleep and you barely keep your eyes open right after the meal within 30 minutes to an hour, then 90% of the time it's food allergies, or it can be what's called food sensitivities or intolerance to certain foods. And there's a difference between that, because one has to do with an immunoglobulin response like IgG or IgE. That's a true food allergy. And sometimes those immunoglobulins don't respond the same, and it's only a sensitivity or an intolerance. So some of the most common foods are, of course, wheat and corn and eggs and peanuts and tree nuts, actually, shellfish. So most of those things are because, as an example, people eat regular store-bought eggs, which is very high in omega-6, where a natural egg where they're eating outside and insects becomes, the fat becomes omega-3. Omega-6 fats are inflammatory, omega-3 fats are anti-inflammatory. Same with nuts and raw walnuts and almonds and pecans all give you omega-3s, pecans a little bit more omega-6, but it's a healthy omega-6. It's the omega-6 derivatives that are really unhealthy. And if you want to help to repair a lot of these food reactions, you might want to attempt more things like fermented foods, such as the new yogurt made from coconut milk instead of cow's milk, or sauerkraut, or fermented beets. And all of these can really help you. One of the things that they do is they help to regulate blood sugars better, and the blood sugar levels and insulin levels can also be causing some of those reactions. So again, if you feel tired and fuzzy after eating, think food allergy. Now, I usually teach that what you want to think is not what's wrong, it's what did I eat. So if you get any symptoms, or when you get any symptoms, the first thing I want you to think in your mind is, what did I eat, not what is wrong. And that makes a big difference, because when you know that it's usually 90% of the time food-related, then that fear of, oh my God, what's wrong, what's wrong? So whether you have rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or psoriasis or eczema, or just gastritis and gassy and bloated, or you get a little loose bowels, all of those can be stimulated by something you've eaten. Either it's an intolerance, or it's a an actual food allergy. So excellent. You can check out and really make a note so that you can determine whether it's a food allergy or just an insensitivity. There were some questions online. I think I see one of the questions I saw in there. Someone wanted to know if anything for glaucoma. And so glaucoma, you know, it's a condition in the eye, and the pressure in the eye changes. There's a vitreous solution inside. It's like a jelly inside your eye. And sometimes that jelly gets a little hard, or it's not viscous, or it's too viscous, and the pressure gets too high. It actually loses its pliability. And one of the things that you can use on that is an herb called horse chestnut. And the other one is grapeseed extract and pine seed extract. And then there's another herb called bilberry. And bilberry helps because they have these very strong antioxidants, horse chestnut and bilberry, and eye bright. These are three different herbs that are very, very strong. And they contain these chemicals called proanthocyanidins, or anthocyanidins, and they actually control the pressure of the small little blood vessels in your eye, and the pressure in your eye itself. So when you notice that that pressure might be coming up, then basically that those herbs can really help.
We have a question on ginkgo biloba.
Oh, yes. There's a question, can it help with ringing in the ears? Well, ginkgo biloba, what it does is it increases the blood supply to the brain. And anywhere you get more blood, you're going to have a better outcome. So whether it's ringing in your ears, or headaches, or even brain anemia, brain fog, ginkgo biloba is a very good herb. Now, you have to make sure, because when you buy any herb, what you're really paying for is the chemicals inside that. And ginkgosides are chemical flavonoids, and that are part of the ginkgo biloba herb, and it has to be high in those chemicals. So there are companies that will pick and encapsulate ginkgo biloba, yet it doesn't have that ginkgosides in them. Just like ginseng has to have ginsenosides. So these are the chemicals in the plant that actually are the antioxidants. So in ginkgo biloba, you just have to be careful of the company that you buy. And this is the reason that when you walk into our store, you're going to see Nature Sunshine herbs, and you're going to know that we think those are some of the best herbs on the market. You're going to see essential oils from doTERRA, and we think those are some of the best. So I think that'll help you on ring. Another thing that's used for ringing in the ears is there's two. The mineral zinc. Oftentimes, zinc is a little low when someone has ringing in the ears, which is called tinnitus. So you can have those levels checked in a blood test. And if it's low, then zinc is one of those. You can get zinc, as an example, from seeds and nuts, you know, raw pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds and walnuts. You can get it from eating fish like sardines and wild salmon. So those are very, very good, and they can help. Another question I can see is about adrenal fatigue. Adrenal fatigue is very common right now in the United States. It's a condition. One of the ways that you can really tell when you have adrenal fatigue is take your blood pressure sitting down, and also take your heart rate sitting down. So you usually, most blood pressure cuffs that you use, even the ones that go on your wrist, you can get those at anywhere, at any pharmacy will have those, a Walgreens or anything, and you can buy, there's different ones, but they can go from 50 to maybe 75 bucks, and you get the ones that fit on your wrist or your arm, and that will take a blood pressure. So you take your blood pressure sitting down. Of course, you sit down and always wait about 2 or 3 minutes so that everything calms down. Then you take your blood pressure, and you take your heart rate. And then what you do is immediately click the blood pressure unit again, wait 5 to 10 seconds, and then stand up. And then let the blood pressure continue and get a blood pressure reading and a pulse rate reading once you've stood up. And what will happen, you can tell it when you're adrenal exhausted, because the numbers on both the diastolic and systolic and the heart rate, those numbers need to go up at least 20 points. Let's say between 10 and 20 points that they'll go up. And when they don't go up or when they go down, then there's an adrenal exhaustion. And what I would use on that is adrenal cortex. And I used to be able to get adrenal cortex pretty easy. Now the only ones that I know, we use, again, Nature Sunshine. And Nature Sunshine has a product called Adrenal Support. And it does have adrenal cortex in the capsule. And the other things that really help the adrenal glands are all your B-complex, because it helps the nervous system. And then spirulina or blue-green algae, chlorella and spirulina are two of the best. Spirulina has no nucleus, and chlorella was a little bit later coming in its evolution, and it has a true nucleus. But both of those are very, very good. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, and thank you for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio.
This is Tim, one of your patients with prostate cancer going away. A question in regards to the program about CBD and hemp, and let's say I might live in a different state than Texas, and
then you can get it. Then it's actually legal. A CBD, And CBD oil, which is the cannabidiol oil in hemp, and that's not the THC. There's two main chemicals in that. THC, that's the one that gets you high, which is a very good chemical, by the way, for those that are on chemotherapy that have wasting syndrome because they're nausea and vomiting and they can't eat food, so they lose weight. And that's something on chemotherapy that we don't want. So they actually recommend the true marijuana plant, and they take it either in food or tea or smoking it, because the THC will help them have an appetite and control nausea. But the true chemical for cancer is the CBD oil, which is the cannabidiol oils, and that's from the hemp plant, and they're now growing the hemp plant with very high amounts of CBD and very low amounts of THC. So consuming that hemp plant, whether you buy the raw herb and you would eat maybe one little bud, a small bud equals about a drop of the CBD oil, and you could eat maybe three buds or three drops a day, three or four drops a day of the CBD oil. That's a very good chemical that's for cancers, especially brain cancers. But now they're finding more and more that it's a very strong anti-inflammatory, so it's very, very good. So the CBD from the hemp plant is very healthy. And also, the hemp seed is one of the healthiest. Now, the problem with most hemp seeds is they're irradiated. And so then you have to find out, is the hemp seed irradiated or is it in its raw form? And that's really good to add to your smoothies. As an example, you put the maybe anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon into seed grinder, or these coffee mills, coffee grinders, and grind that up into a fine powder and add that to any smoothie or yogurt. And again, I use the yogurt made from coconut milk, not from cow's milk. And that CBD oil can be very, very beneficial. And there's other ways of getting some of the CBD oil. Sometimes it's very difficult to get. And one of the things that I really appreciate is that doTERRA came out with its own type of CBD oil, and it comes from, what's the plant, Copaiba? Is that how you?
Copaiba.
Yeah, Copaiba. And it's a tree, and that's very high also in CBD oil, or CBD the chemical. So they've come out with an essential oil on that, and it has the high CBD oils in it. So certainly any of the studies you see that's been done on CBD, then that essential oil would also be appropriate. So those are some of the ways of getting it. Was that quite your question about using CBD oil or hemp? And again, the hemp seed, just find one that's non-irradiated, and you could use that in your smoothies, a good tablespoon per day, whether you do a teaspoon, a couple, two, three times a day, or one tablespoon in your smoothie. Be very, very healthy for you, and it's very good.
Excellent. That's awesome. The yogurt with coconut milk,
yes.
Is that something I could add to my diet?
Yes, indeed. You know, not the flavored sugary ones, but the raw you know, the good yogurt, and they're now making it from coconut milk, and I really like the taste. I've tasted it. They even make an ice cream now from coconut milk, and that would even be beneficial once in a while. Not necessarily beneficial, but not harmful. If sometimes you want a little bit of ice cream, you can get that from the coconut milk ice cream, and also the coconut milk yogurt. So those would both be okay to use. You know, not a lot, but, you know, to within reason, always look, use your mind. You're not going to just fill yourself up on those, but very, very good. Especially, again, the CBD oils they're finding is just phenomenal for cancer. Any type of cancer, but especially brain cancer or cancers of the nervous system. So, very good. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, acid reflux. One of the most common reason for acid reflux, and you won't believe that it's this easy, is how you drink water and the proper way of drinking water. Here's what happens. Think of when you chew your food and then you swallow it, and that glump of food goes into your stomach. So what happens when you don't, you want all food to fall into your stomach, to fall into like a soup, a thin, a good amount of liquid, and then that food will blend with the liquid in your stomach, and it's like a soup or a thick soup, and then the body's able to digest it. So when there's no fluid, water that's been put into the stomach before the meals, then you have this glump in your stomach. And since your body has to really secrete all these enzymes, and it's hard to digest that way, so what happens is the stomach will squeeze and push that food back up into your throat so that you spit it out. And that's what's happening, and it becomes like a vicious circle, is that your body's trying to get rid of it, so your stomach keeps squeezing that up, and you get this burning reflux in your throat. So one of the things that you can do, the easiest things you do, is how you drink water. And then what you want is a glass of water 1 hour before meals. Now, that glass of water may be cold, doesn't have to be room temperature. I like to only drink room temperature water, but that glass an hour before the meal, let's say 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour before the meal, that starts to prepare the digestion. Then you have another glass of water with the meal. And for those of you that aren't allergic to apple cider vinegar, I would put a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, raw apple cider vinegar, into that glass of water. And that's a glass of water you take your vitamins, and then maybe eat some food and a little drink of water, eat some food, a little drink of water, and then save a good gulp so that at the end of the meal you can drink a little water and push everything down. Now, you'll hear from a lot of naturopaths, don't drink water with your meals, don't drink water at all with your meals, and that's a fallacy. If you look at any animal, the first thing, you know, what they do is they'll drink a huge amount of water right after the meal. And that water, of course, most people put out for them is cold. So you take a glass of water with the meal, especially with the apple cider vinegar in it, and that continues to help thin out the liquid that's in there so that the food is breaking up. Water is a universal solvent, so it is able to dissolve more things than anything else in the entire universe. And so what happens is that the food will break up. Then the third glass of water is 2 hours after every meal. And again, if you want that water maybe cold, I suggest room temperature, but that's up to you. But those three glasses of water have to do with digestion and not necessarily thirst. So when you do that properly, most of the time that acid reflux will disappear. Now, some people have a little bit of problem. They've been over the years eating the wrong diet, so their digestive enzymes are a little weak, or they're not secreting enough digestive enzymes. That's when I would suggest either taking some kind of digestive enzymes, because protease helps to digest proteins, amylase happens to digest carbohydrates, and lipase digests fats, cellulase and hemicellulase. All of these enzymes, ox bile and betaine hydrochloride, these are all different forms of enzymes to help you break down food. Nature Sunshine makes some very good ones, one called Proactazyme, one called high lipase, and one called food enzymes. The Proactazyme and a high lipase are both vegetarian formulas, and the food enzyme has ox bile and pancreatin and betaine hydrochloride in it. So all three of those good. The essential oils, ginger oil can really help with digestion. And oftentimes somebody in that glass of water that they have with the meal, you can put one or two drops of ginger oil in that water with that teaspoon of apple cider vinegar. And that will really help you digest your food. And they make a combination called Digestin, and again, it's full of digestive enzymes and some of the essential oils. So that's how you really get rid of reflux. For those of you that need it, you take some kind of digestive enzyme every time you eat. But the biggest way to get rid of the acid reflux is to drink water properly, like I'm talking about. Okay, so the other thing, if you still get that, like the question online was that he woke up choking a little bit, and that's where you might want to, lying flat in a bed is not the way we're really designed to sleep. And we're really designed to sleep in the same position that you would see in a lounge chair. You know, a big lounge chair, and your feet are up, and the back is up a little bit. That's actually the position that the best for sleeping. So I would suggest buying a wedge pillow to put from your sacrum to the top of your head, so that you can lay down on a wedge pillow. And you want that pillow to be at least at least 7 to 10 inches above the bed, so that you're slightly elevated. And then I would put a bolster or a pillow under the knees, and that takes the pressure off the low back. And that's the way to really be able to get proper sleeping, so that you don't have, if you're full and you drink a lot of water or eat a lot of food and it's shortly before you go to bed and you lie flat, if that sphincter muscle in your esophagus relaxes, then that food is going to pour back up into the esophagus, and that's when you wake up choking, and that acid is going to kind of burn your throat. So you have to be careful. Again, sleeping in a different position can really help that. We are very much a believer in essential oils, and there was a great article that came out on wintergreen oil. Wintergreen essential oil, it's used in an analgesic, especially with acute pain. And it goes on, it talks about that wintergreen is probably one of the most recognized scents in pain relief balms, and for good reason. It says, originally, wintergreen oil was used by Native North Americans for its medicinal properties to treat the symptoms of rheumatism and sore throats and tooth decay and other problems such as insect bites, snake bites, bee stings. Today, however, it's mostly used as a topical pain relief. And wintergreen, not only, it contains methyl salicylates, which is a natural form of aspirin. That's what aspirin is from salicylic acid. And so the salicylates is a form of aspirin, which means that it's effective in its own right in relieving arthritis pain, joint stiffness, muscle spasms, and inflammation. It's also a powerful solvent, and that can help carry other pain-relieving ingredients deep into the source of the pain. The oil is made by steam processing warmed and then water-soaked wintergreen. Now, the benefits of oil as a pain reliever is largely predominantly because of the active ingredient in the wintergreen, which is methyl salicylate. Also, the birch tree. There's the birch tree, and you can get birch oil, and you can't really distinguish too much between the birch oil and the wintergreen oil. Of course, birch oil is very expensive and hard to get, and wintergreen is now very easy. But they're the only two plants in the world that contain natural methyl salicylates. And nowadays, most of the methyl salicylates used in ingredients in nearly every single anti-arthritic and analgesic balm that you get, that you rub into muscles and joint pain, that's currently available. And that's a synthesized form where they it's called esterifying salicylic acid with methanol. But birch and wintergreen have it naturally. And because of this methyl salicylate, and you find out that 1 teaspoon, which is a lot, 5 mLs, of wintergreen oil is the equivalent of almost 22 adult aspirins. So that's approximately 7,000 milligrams of salicylate in a 5 mL teaspoon. So that's pretty radical. That's a huge amount of pain-fighting chemicals. It's in high concentrations, and you'll find that in liniments, like even like Bengay, to relieve joint pain and muscle pain. And studies have shown, however, that it's quite effective for chronic pain. And a lot of people will take, oh yes, we're at our time. I'm seeing the light blink. I was just notified. So the essential oil, wintergreen, is very effective for a rub-on and to help with pain. So, again, I really like that, and it's and birch. And, again, if you can get birch, we always keep a bottle of birch. And I use the wintergreen or birch when I have it, otherwise wintergreen. After I brush my teeth, I'll put 3 to 4 drops of wintergreen oil on the toothbrush and then re-brush your teeth again. And what that'll do is help prevent plaque buildup in your, and it actually dissolves a lot of plaque. You go back to the dentist and the dentist will demand to know who cleaned your teeth. And you tell the dentist, nobody, I didn't go to anyone. And they won't believe you because all the plaque is gone off your teeth. So it's a great, great oil, both birch and wintergreen. Thank you for joining us. Anyway, this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And thank you for joining me. Here we are at Natural Solutions Radio. Thank you all for joining us. I did notice a question that was on essential oils online on one of the comments, and they were asking what oils you wouldn't use with pets and what oils you could use with pets. Well, some of the essential oils could be very harsh, and the more harsh, the ones that are not used traditionally on dogs or cats that could be harmful to them include cinnamon oil or any of the citrus oils because of the limonene, and also pennyroyal. So cinnamon and citrus and any of the citrus oils and pennyroyal. Now, the oils that can be used on things like melaleuca or tea tree oil and wintergreen, pine oils, those, I know the dog whisper, Caesar Milan, he talks about using lavender oil. And by the way, he's, you know, quite famous. He's the dog whisper. And the only brand of essential oils he uses is doTERRA. And he has said that on his show. So I repeat that because he thinks they are the best oils. And for his dogs that are nervous, they'll put lavender oil a little bit between the toes in their paws. And they then calm down, are able to take a ride in the car. So for those dogs that are nervous, they use lavender oil. But again, lavender, melaleuca, those are okay. Wintergreen, pine oils. Now, wintergreen may be a little bit harsh. You have to be careful because, again, it's very similar to cinnamon oils that it could be, and citrus oils. It could be a little harsh and burn, so you have to be careful with that. But lavender is perfectly okay. So, I really like that. And there was another article this morning. I was talking about essential oils the last hour, the last one we were talking about wintergreen. And again, there was another good article. And this one came out in the Science Daily, Science News. Science Daily is a very reputable science magazine, and it's your source for the latest research in science. And they came out with a article on rosemary oil and how rosemary oil can aid in children's working memory. And they said using a diffuser and putting rosemary oil into the air, exposing children to the aroma of the rosemary essential oil, can significantly enhance working memory in children. So that's what the article is talking about, the findings of a study that were presented. They presented it to the British Psychological Society Annual Conference. And it was from one of the universities in England. And this was presented, again, to the Psychological Society Annual Convention. And they did some studies that demonstrated the aroma of essential oils to enhance cognition in healthy adults. Knowing how important working memory is in academic achievement, they wanted to see if it would work the same way in children. So, again, they did a study with 40 children aged 10 and 11, and they took part in a class-based test on different mental tests, and the children were randomly assigned to a room that either had rosemary oil diffused in it for 10 minutes or a room with no scents whatsoever. The children were tested individually, seated at the table opposite the researcher, and after introducing themselves to the child, the researcher said, "You're here to play some memory games, and so don't be nervous, and you can do the best you can." The analysis revealed that the children in the room with the aroma received significantly higher scores than non-scented room, and the test to recall words demonstrated the greatest differences in scores. So why and how rosemary oil is doing this and this effect is still up for debate. They're not sure. It could be that the aroma affects the electrical activity in the brain, or that pharmacologically there's active components that could be absorbed when the people are exposed to the oil. So they're not sure how that works, but they did find that it did work quite a bit. So that was really quite a cool another article on essential oils. Good morning. And good morning. Who are we speaking to?
George, I'm one of your patients, Dr. Ben Joseph.
Oh, excellent.
I have a question for you. We have a friend right now in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and she says that she's had acid reflux for many years. And I caught the show that you were talking to a gentleman kind of late, but they suspect that she has esophagus erosion from the acid reflux.
Oh, yeah, very common. Because the acids, that acid is really very strong. Think of it, the acid in your stomach.
Yes.
And when it comes up,
yes,
you get that burning throat and it's hard to clear. And that acid can actually erode the tissue of the esophagus in your throat. It actually can really cause serious problems. There's a condition called Barrett's esophagus that can turn into cancer on that. So you do have to be careful. That's why I suggested drinking water. That was the one thing that we wanted to make sure people knew. And the water, that's the most important, how you drink water.
Can that be reversed? I don't know if it can be reversed or not.
Well, it certainly can be affected by, it will reverse once you take things. Now, there is a over-the-counter that they use called Prilosec. And for those of you that use Prilosec, what most doctors won't tell you is it has a 48-hour half-life. So if it works, you can take it once every other day or even once every third day. This way, it's a very low dose, and it'll stop that heartburn and esophageal reflux. If you can, use the water and the digestive digestive enzymes and the probiotics, that's always the best way to do it. But if you need to, then what you'll do is take that Prilosec, but I'd take it every other day or every third day, okay?
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and relay that information to her.
But when she gets out, you know, again, you can tell her to drink water the way I'm saying, take the digestive enzymes and the probiotics. Thank you so much, George. I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
A question that we have, I see from one of the users, is what kind of oils can be used in a diffuser? And we answered that online. Almost any essential oil can be used in a diffuser. And what I suggest, if you're the owner of a business and you have employees in a room, I would suggest getting a good diffuser. And we like, as far as the diffusers, I like doTERRA essential oils and their diffusers. But we know that essential oils diffused into the air can actually lower the incidence of almost every type of respiratory ailment or the flu, and it impacts your health greatly. So if you want to help your employees so that they're not as sick, get a essential oil diffuser, put it in the room. Even if you have multiple rooms, put them in, and you will notice that your employees don't get sick as often, so you're not going to have that workman's comp. You're not going to have workers out because of 6 days, and essential oils are that good in a diffuser. If you have children, you could put a essential oil diffuser in their room, and something like lavender or lemon oil or cinnamon oil, any of these that are really wonderful. And again, rosemary oil can help in the intelligence. So you can use any essential oil in a diffuser. They're very helpful, and they are antibacterial, antiviral. They're also anti-inflammatories, and they're anti-yeasts and fungus. So they're very, very good. They're also anti-mold. They'll kill most molds. So get diffusers, put it in your room, put it in your house, put it in your business, and you will do a great service for your employees. So, and again, if it's used essential oils, if your dogs are in the room, that's going to be okay. When I was saying harmful to pets, it's when you put the essential oils directly on them. That's what we don't do, because in a diffuser, it's not as concentrated. It's in a whole room. So those are okay. Anyway, I want to get back to an article. They found, as an example, that smartphone addiction, that there is now people are getting addicted to their telephones, their smartphones that they carry in their pockets, and that they're going back and forth over their phones. They're even waking up in the middle of the night. Well, anyway, they found that smartphone addiction is related to the same addiction as addiction to narcotics, to gambling, to pornography, to alcohol, even addictions to sugar. So that they said it affects the same part of the brain, and it is these apps that are developed on the phone are actually designed to addict the person using those apps. And those app developers know exactly what they're doing, and they put all the bells and whistles to get them to stay at their websites. And Facebook and YouTube and Netflix and Snapchat and Twitter and all of these other websites were cited as examples of websites that use habit-forming techniques to grab and hold the attention of users, so that hours and hours out of a day, people are looking at their smartphones. So to take advantage of the power of addiction is part of their strategy to maximize advertising revenue for those who own those websites. So please, I would talk to your children about limiting the telephone addiction. You want to be very careful about basically using the smartphones. It's really important. You have to be careful about that, because kids are becoming addicted to that. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back. And don't miss, because I want to talk about, there was a great article, and I want to talk about life expectancy in Japan, how it's different from all other countries in the world. And we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio. Yes, go ahead, you're on.
Okay, somebody that I know has an autistic child, and I recommended that they give that child cilantro. She said that she researched cilantro, and she found out that cilantro does not eliminate the heavy metal that's causing the autism. That it breaks it up, but doesn't remove it, and that some of it can even go to the brain.
Yes, it's true, but I would say that I would want to read that study that says it doesn't work, because there's mountains of studies that have shown that people that consume high amounts of cilantro, that when you test their urine, mercury and cadmium and lead and arsenic are eliminated by the cilantro. So I would disagree with that. It's just like there's an article, and I'll see if I can pull that up and get to it. Talking about the New York Times, how they're attacking vitamin D. So oftentimes you get the standard traditional news or doctors, and they'll just pick and choose what they want that's not an actual good study, let's call it. And so one of the things that does eliminate heavy metals is using a far infrared sauna. So those are quite good, but also exercise, eating healthy, because your liver wants to do that. But cilantro added to a salad, or even a cilantro essential oil, they have shown that it does eliminate heavy metals. Now, for autism, one of the things that there's a special diet for autism, and that is avoiding sugars, avoiding chemicals, avoiding food colorings and dyes, and avoiding dairy products can often help dramatically with autistic spectrum. And so that's really important, changing their diet. I would suggest, if it's possible, anyone with an autistic child to get a blood test called an IgG food allergy blood test. IgG is an immunoglobulin. There's five different immunoglobulins: IgG, IgE, IgM, IgD, IgA. And the IgG is an immunoglobulin that specifically has a reaction to food, along with IgE. IgE also is tested, but that's more what causes your throat to swell closed, or like when someone's stung with a bee, or eating a piece of shrimp and they're allergic, or peanuts where their throat swells closed. That's usually people know that are allergy. But the IgG is a delayed food response, and we think that's if they get that blood test and avoid all the foods that they're reactive to, that also can help the brain repair. So there are some things that they can do, and we've seen parents take an active role by doing natural health programs and natural vitamins and antioxidants and essential oils, and it really does work for autism. So excellent question, Sylvia. Thank you. And we'll put
it
you back.
Excellent.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. How you guys doing?
Hey, Vince, how are you doing? Good talking to you. Did you get to hear those two
great
articles?
Show today. Yeah. I'm at my store just trying to call you in between customers. But I just wanted to say what a fantastic show today. And as you're talking about natural health, and you're talking about, you know, how you're helping folks with all kinds of different issues that are going on, there's a great way for all of us to learn how to do this too, and that is, you know, working with some of the companies that you work with through the store, Nature Sunshine, doTERRA, talking about natural vitamins and minerals and essential oils and antioxidants and, you know, detoxing the body of heavy metals like you were just talking about with that last caller. I mean, cilantro oil is fantastic, but we have other products, too, that are great detoxers, like Zendocrine essential oil, which contains cilantro, but it's a great detoxification for heavy metals.
Absolutely.
And, of course, all of our body's filters that will help, you know, either adults and or children with that affliction.
And also, talked about the new one that they have for the CBD oil for those that are concerned
Correct.
About taking hemp. Well, they have a new CBD oil from, again, how does it, Copaiba?
Copaiba
tree.
Copaiba. And so here's how we explain that, and that is it works on the endocannabinoid system. What is the endocannabinoid system, Ellie?
That's a system in the brain that affects neurotransmitter production and how to keep the brain healthy. You have to have these neurotransmitters because that's what allows nerves to actually communicate. And that natural cannabinoids in the brain can work as pain alleviation and also to help to heal what's going on in the brain, heal the nervous system in the brain. It does cross the blood-brain barrier, and there is this natural cannabinoid in the brain. And the body will use that, healing centers of the brain.
We kind of look at it as it's just like the respiratory system, the digestive system, circulatory system.
Mm-hmm.
This endocannabinoid system is the healing center of the body.
And it really works.
Right, and these cannabinoids that are found in copaiba oil are basically assisting in, you know, cleansing, nourishing, firing these neurons, helping the body, you know, with the nervous system to, you know, actually work. You know, I mean, the cannabinoid system that this is helping with the CB2 receptors of the body. So why is marijuana such a big deal? It works on the CB1 receptors and the CB2 receptors. The CB1 receptors being the ones that make us feel good and give us that high of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And then the CB2 receptors are the ones that help the body with that healing and recuperating part of what's going on in our body.
And we have to be careful.
That's what copaiba offers.
And what's happening is that's in direct competition with the pharmaceutical industry. So they are hot and heavy of attempting to keep these off the market. And we're lucky that the public is the one that's demanding it. And the public, going through their own government and their own legislation, is forcing states to actually change the law. And many, many states now have that is for medical marijuana is legal. But CBD oil, if it has to be less than 3% THC, that's legal in almost every state in the country. But I really appreciate doTERRA, because for those that are concerned about hemp or marijuana, they now have an option that's also going to give them the CBD oil without the fear that they might get fired because they test positive to marijuana. And that's really something
Absolutely.
Great. You know, so.
And not only that, but it's not going to have some of the after effects that, you know, some of the CBD oils may have. But remember, it's one of those that's helping us with sleep, relaxation, muscle tension, joint pain, brain health, neuropathies, all these neurological problems that we're having within the body that are really, really, once again, helping the body to repair.
Absolutely.
And that's what the...
You know, and now birch oil.
There's a high demand.
I was talking about wintergreen oil this morning and the study that was done on that, and birch oil. And birch oil is another one that's very hard to get. Some of these
Absolutely.
Oils, yeah, they're really in demand, and it's not always easy to fill the demand. Well, thank you very much, Vince. I always appreciate
you
it
bet.
When you call, and I'm glad you get to be there. You're with a store, and you get a break between people, you know, that you get to call in. So really, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I know we're coming up to our commercial, but I did want to mention this article. Now, this is a very controversial article, and because it's about vaccines. And there's a lot of controversy about vaccines, especially in this country. You have a group of the anti-vaccine people, and you have a group of the pharmaceutical companies pro-vaccine. You've got even places like in California where they make it illegal almost to disparage anything with the vaccines. Well, anyway, the world's lowest infant mortality rate and the highest life expectancy of any country in the world is Japan. And they're saying it's due to the banned mandatory vaccinations. No mandatory vaccinations in Japan. And what they found, the Japanese government banned numerous vaccines, including the MMR vaccine, despite Big Pharma's opposition. This has resulted into Japan having the lowest infant mortality rate in the entire world, as well as the longest life expectancy. Japanese people are proven to be the healthiest people in the world, as shown in numerous studies. And despite the high use of support for vaccination, it seems that the Japanese people do not believe these drugs really promote public health. Despite the criticism received by the country from giant U.S. Pharmaceutical companies, the Japanese firmly stand on the side of no large profit is enough to risk the people's health. And the Japanese skepticism did bring good fruit to its people, bringing longer lives to babies compared to Americans who receive the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. In the U.S., infant mortality rates are doubled. It seems that the Japanese government really went well, are really well educated when it comes to the danger and adverse effects brought about by these banned vaccines. Years of controversy on the MMR vaccine have been linked to autism. And again, there's groups going to say, yes, the vaccines contribute to autism. And the other groups say, no, no, no. I would rather err on the side of caution and not give some of these vaccines, because in every study in the world, those children that do not get the vaccines live healthier. They have less allergies, less autoimmune diseases, less every kind of sickness that vaccinated children have. They have less autism, and yet vaccine supporters will still blindingly deny any association between vaccines and the rate of autism or any other disease for that matter. And autism is now affecting 1 out of 45 children today in the United States, higher among boys than girls. So anyway, Japan is just doing phenomenal. Since 1989, when the MMR vaccine was first introduced into the country, and parents who refused to vaccinate their child were fined. Later on, after careful analysis, the health officials found that 1 out of 900 children developed very severe reactions from the vaccine. And this rate is said to be 2,000 times higher than expected. So they have made it, they did testing on children, so they've made it now no mandatory vaccines. And all of the diseases that have to do with children, the mortality rate, allergies, autoimmune diseases, on every level, those that are not vaccinated are improved health. Now, a non-vaccinated child, even if they get the measles or the mumps or anything, because their immune systems are so high, they handle it. And just like a vaccine, they get automatic immunity from that. So they don't affect the health of vaccinated children. And most of the vaccine are children that have come out with, there were measles and mumps epidemics. Those were all vaccinated children. More people die from the polio vaccine than from polio itself. So again, I'm on the side of caution, and I say be very careful about vaccinations. There are two vaccines that I do recommend, and that's for children going off to college to get the meningitis vaccine, and also if you get bit by a dog of any kind, the rabies vaccine. But as far as the flu vaccine, you don't need it. If you're strong and you take your vitamins and you eat healthy and drink water and sleep well, you're not going to die from the flu. So, any other of these childhood diseases. But let's take our break, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And we are back. There's a lot of women that are concerned because of what's called the BRCA gene that supposedly makes you more susceptible to breast cancer. Well, there was a new study in the British medical journal Lancet that fatal breast cancer gene is just a myth. No significant difference in cancer survival rates, says the British medical journal Lancet. So the medical industry, including Big Pharma, has been heavily under fire for quite some time for promoting unwanted treatments of doubtful efficacy and effectivity. One of these treatments, which has been under fire for ages as far as women's health and survival are concerned, is the practice of prophylactic mastectomy, and they consider taking chemotherapy because they have the BRCA gene. To determine that, they found, this is a professor from a cancer sciences academic unit at the University of Southampton and the University Hospital of Southampton and the Natural Health Services Foundation. They did in a study of 127 hospitals across the United Kingdom, and they tested over almost 3,000 women between the ages of 18 and 40 and between the years of 2000 and 2008. And they found that the there was no difference in outcomes in traditional medicine, whether a woman had her breasts removed, cancer developed in other areas, and they found that the gene does not get expressed unless lifestyle is incorrect. So that's what they're finding. It has to do with the lifestyle of whether the gene is expressed or not. So when you follow a good, healthy program, you take your vitamins and minerals and herbs, you'll find that that gene is not expressed, and that the whole thing is a myth. Another article that is very controversial, and that is about mammography. And this study, there was a new study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and the new study looked at 3 decades, that's 30 years, of the effects of screening using mammography on breast cancer incidence. And for over 30 years, science has believed that mammography is the primary weapon against breast cancer. However, this new proposition has been disproved. It is revealed that 1.3 million cases of cancer in the United States could have been zero without mammography. They're saying that the mammograms increase the risk of cancer, and that 1.3 million cases over the last 30 years came because of the mammography. And the study was done on the breast cancer incidence. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and they gained the attention of mainstream medicine as it discusses the possibility that mammography has been the cause of many breast cancers for millions of women who adopted it in the past. Breast cancer overdiagnosis mostly happens to women below 40 years of age. So not all tumors detected through mammography are cancerous. But oftentimes they will rush into surgery and rush into radiation and chemotherapy, and this is what's happening. So the Lancet Oncology published a study associated, and they stated, and this is from that article, "We believe many invasive breast cancers detected by repeated mammography screening do not persist to be detected by screening at the end of 6 years, suggesting that the natural course of many of these screen-detected invasive breast cancers is to spontaneous regression." And we think that that regression, by the way, this is for me again, is because people change their diets and they start taking vitamins and minerals, and basically they get better. So, ladies, please do not get a mammogram. I suggest only getting thermograms, and that's what you want to get. And one more I talked about in the beginning, that the New York Times is attacking the scientist that talks about vitamin D. And vitamin D is one of the main, when your vitamin D is high, one of the main preventions of whooping cough. And it's easily prevented when you take this low-cost nutrient. And it is making a comeback across the United States, and it's the New York Times is on a mission. They want to get people to believe that at least 80% of them have normal vitamin D levels. And they say when you take a blood test, they only look at that it only prevents rickets in children and osteomalacia, softening of the bones. So normal levels of vitamin D, they say, are anything above 20 nanograms per milliliter. Well, one of the main scientists, highly respected scientist at Boston University, he's an endocrinologist. He's published from the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, and the Journal of Endocrine Society, says no, that you need higher amounts of vitamin D. Get your vitamin D levels up to above 60. I'm saying between 75 and 95, and you cut your risk of all forms of cancer by a minimum of 75%. So the New York Times is a shill for the pharmaceutical companies. Don't listen to them. Take your vitamin D. And if I can get the last one in, astaxanthin is one of the greatest compounds that target cancer cells for destruction. That's why I have 30 milligrams in Prime Longevity, more than any other supplement on the market. You'll find that there's only between 4 and 10 milligrams. And astaxanthin can prevent cancer 6 ways. Anyway, we only have 10 seconds left. So thank you all for joining me. And we'll be back next week with another show. This is Elliot Azer Ben Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we're going to be signing off, and thank you for joining me.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.